Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the fastest hour in radio. That's right. It is time for the Big E Sports Show. And summer is almost here. It seems like when I'm talking to my girlfriends all the time, the conversation always leads to how in the world do you shed that final 5 to 10 pounds that will not go away? Well, I can promise you in our next segment, we are visiting with one of the top fitness and martial art experts. He defines himself as a fitness crusader, and he has a brand new book that is out. It is titled Warrior Cardio, the revolutionary metabolic training system for burning fat, building muscles, and getting fit. Congratulations, Martin Rooney. It is wonderful to have you on the show, and congratulations on this brand new book.
Hey, thank you, and I am glad to be here.
Let me tell you something for all the folks that are tuning in. I mean, it is a comprehensive and a complete 12-week fitness and diet program that you offer, and we're going to hit on that here in a moment, but I'm always fascinated with the psychology of the game and just the, you know, developing your mental muscles, and that's what I found so interesting is that you offer in this the circuits of mental cardio, and these concepts certainly are critical in order to execute just all the challenges, kind of the demands that you put in the book, and you can have physical training, but you've got to have that mental edge too. Tell us a little bit about that, Martin.
Absolutely. One of the things I think I would be cheating people and would be to just give a bunch of workouts out but not let them set the right mindset. And working with the highest level athletes in the world down to regular clients, I've always found the ones that are the most successful aren't the ones just that get their bodies right, but they're really the ones that get their minds right first. And that concept that I had, mental cardio, was, hey, if we're going to do physical circuits, let's do some mental ones as well before you get started. And you're not alone. A lot of people think that's a really interesting section of the book.
And tell us, you said that you work with all types of athletes. I mean, folks that are, you know, NFL combine guys, you know, the NBA high school athletes. So what are some of the biggest questions that, Martin, when they come to you, you know, mentally with that aspect of their game that they want to be able to take away from?
Well, hey, whether you're a regular person or not, an elite Olympic athlete, everybody is always looking for how they can be better, how they could be more motivated. You know, it's funny, I think sometimes people think that, hey, athletes and, you know, just must be so motivated, but a lot of times they're looking for that motivation as well, and that's a big part of my job. In a way, what I always describe it as is I help people find their why. And how I define the why is it's that thing that's driving them. What is their why? Why are they going to work hard? Why are they going to eat right? And I do that whether it's a elite Olympian or it's a young kid or a regular person. It's just, hey, what is your why? Because if you really understand that and I help them to understand that, then they're going to figure out how to get there.
Well, and as you said, you know, you can be an elite athlete or just a regular person, but it's always, you're coming back to kind of that struggle against flesh, you know, trying to manage that internal war that goes on with really some hardcore training. So how do you deal with that conflict and ultimately achieve the results that you want?
Well, what I like to tell people is I say, hey, there are two wolves inside of you. You know, one of them is, you know, kind of stands for commitment and work ethic and discipline and courage. And the other one is, you know, that wolf that's kind of lazy, procrastinates, doesn't get things done, has a lot of fear. And people always ask me, hey, which one is going to win out? And I say, hey, it's the one you feed all the time. So, you know, obviously, hey, if you're mentally getting yourself ready and telling yourself you can be courageous and you're going to work hard and you've found something to be committed to, it really sets you up to go do those things. So that's kind of the way I explain it to, you know, regular people all the way up to my highest level athletes, where I just say, hey, which wolf is going to be the one that you want to feed? And they instantly get it and they start moving forward.
Well, and I just love in this book because it really teaches a lot about just discipline, daily discipline.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, the discipline is essential and everybody knows that. I mean, hey, even in the book, you'll see in the nutrition section, a lot of people complain to me all the time about fitness and they'll say, well, I just don't know what to do, you know, or, you know, I don't train because I don't have the information. And I really believe most people know what's good or bad to eat. Most people know how to work out at least a little bit. And what it really is they need that motivation to go do it. And that's the kind of stuff we're trying to provide for them.
You're listening to the voice of Martin Rooney. He's the author of Warrior Cardio. Internationally, he's recognized as a fitness and a martial arts expert. He is, as I had just mentioned, he's worked with hundreds of athletes, the UFC, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. But what I wanted to ask you is kind of share with our listeners as far as your background and your inspiration to get into physical fitness and take it to a whole other level.
Started when I was real young. My mom was a physical education teacher, and my dad was an Olympic caliber rower, so fitness has always been a big thing in my life, and I went on a track and field scholarship to college at Furman University in South Carolina, And then I went on to the Medical University of South Carolina, where I became an orthopedic physical therapist. And interesting enough, I also made the U.S. bobsled team in that time and was traveling around the world representing the U.S., which was one of the coolest experiences ever, and got to live at the Olympic Training Center and, wow, and really experience training at the highest levels in the world. And I realized that, man, there's so much of this information that we have, you know, really at the fingertips of some of the best athletes, but regular people aren't able to take advantage of it. And, you know, most regular people think going to the gym, you're going to walk on the treadmill for 20 minutes and do a couple of sets of bicep curls and you're going to get fit. And really, that's not the case. So with Warrior Cardio, I tried to bring the science and the practical information to everyone and change how people think about fitness.
Well, and I was going to say, is there someone specific in the fitness industry that has influenced you with your workout, with your philosophy, or was this just through all the different years and experiences? As you said, I mean, you were a scholarship athlete, an Olympian, all these different things.
Without a doubt, I've had so many people influence me over the years. My high school track and field coach was a major influence. He's shaped a lot of the ways that I've tried to become a coach now. And then, when I was on the bobsled team, my best friend Todd Hayes won the silver medal at the Olympics, and he had a big influence of just showing that, hey, if you really work hard enough, you can be the best in the world in something. And one of my mentors, Bill Parisi, who we started a company together, and now we have 80 locations training, you know, over 600,000 young athletes in 31 states. And he's just been an absolute motivation also to show that, hey, this information, if we get it to the masses, we can really make a difference. Without a doubt, along the way, hey, no one can do it by themselves. And I've had so many people to help me that the hardest part about writing Warrior Cardio was actually the acknowledgments page, because I wanted to make sure I didn't leave anybody out.
We are having a wonderful conversation with Martin Rooney, the author, as he had just said, of his brand new book. You've got to go out and get a copy of this. It is titled Warrior Cardio. Real quick, Martin, where can our listeners, do you have like a website for the book or anything?
Well, hey, the book is available wherever books are sold. Great places would be your local bookstore or, hey, Amazon.com. It's a 401-page book for $19 on there. That price is really hard to beat. So, online they can check it out, see the reviews, and I think you're going to see some great stuff about it.
Okay, now come on. I'm a mom of two little boys, 10 and 5. I mean, is this a book just geared for 20-year-olds? I mean, will I be able to take some things away from this too?
Without a doubt. And hey, you having the extensive athletic background before that, I think this will be something that resonates with you perfectly. But hey, there are simple warm-up routines. There are also prehabilitation sections just for everybody to start getting back into shape. And hey, if you don't have access to equipment, there's body weight exercises. There's simple dumbbell and barbell exercises. And then if you do have a gym or you want to get more advanced, those levels are in there as well. So I think this book offers something for everyone. It's just you get to determine what level you want to take it to.
Okay, now I've never seen a fitness book with guys working out barefoot. Tell me a little bit about that.
About 15 years ago, when I was an orthopedic therapist, one of the most difficult things for me to remedy was people's feet. When people would have foot problems, man, I just couldn't seem to get people better. And when I really looked at it, what happened was when people would hurt their feet, then they'd put them in a softer shoe and then a softer shoe and not let them walk. And ultimately, they were letting the feet get weaker and weaker and less mobile, where we would never do that with any other part of the body. And I started to investigate and realize that, wow, countries without shoes don't have any foot problems. So I started to think that perhaps the shoes were causing some of this, and I got all of my patients out of their shoes, started strengthening their feet, and saw amazing results. And when I crossed over to sport performance, I continued to follow that trend, and I have all my athletes train barefooted, you know, when they can with the right surfaces. And it's funny, that was over a decade ago, and now there's this big barefoot movement that's happening now with shoes, where they're really minimizing the amount of material in the shoes. And so it's kind of, you know, the idea has come full circle, and now people are getting on board. But that's something that I've used with tremendous success with my athletes.
Okay, so I've always had weak ankles. I always had to get my ankles taped, you know, and I still do when I play ball and everything. But you're saying I can strengthen my ankles?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, what I would recommend, hey, taping the ankles not only isn't proven to really reduce the possibility of sprains, but now you've actually put a crutch on there where now you're not using the natural proprioceptive ability of your ankles, just like you're not using the mobility of your feet. So what I would say is, hey, when you're not playing ball, getting out of the shoes, keeping your shoes off, really working on the mobility of your feet and strengthening those, that'll only enhance your play. So always remember this, it's the foot inside the shoe, not the shoe on the foot, that makes the athlete. And I think we've gotten away from that.
Martin Rooney has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of his brand new book. It is titled Warrior Cardio. As he said, it is jam-packed with lots of great stuff in there, over 400 pages. And I thought what was really neat, too, is you provided some great information on just the importance of nutrition.
Yes. One of the things is, hey, I'm not a nutritionist, but what I did was I enlisted who I consider one of the top nutritionists in the world. He was actually a professor at the University of Texas for a while, and now he's back up in Canada. That's Dr. John Berardi. And he and I were sitting around, and I said, hey, John, I've noticed that my highest-level athletes in the world, they only have a certain number of foods, yet the less and less fit people become, I notice their cupboards are just busting with hundreds of different items that are none of them in any way good for them. And we both agreed on that, and we said, well, hey, why not come up with a list, a simple list of, say, what's the best 20 things that everybody should be eating, and then when it runs out, replenish that and keep that 20. And that became the concept of the Warrior 20. People have been writing me from around the world that love it because it makes their shopping much more simple. They're still able to eat the things they love, but they're making sure that they're just not putting the wrong stuff in their house, which becomes a bad habit, and then you end up eating that stuff. So the Warrior 20 is a simple way to look at nutrition, yet something that is often overlooked. And a huge portion of the book where I will say this, if people want to get that six-pack stomach, it's not going to be found in the gym. It's also going to be found in the refrigerator, and you got to make sure the right stuff is in there.
How many grams of sugar do you, because I try to monitor how many grams of sugar I get per day. I mean, how do you gauge that?
That's gauged differently for a lot of different people where, remember, athletes now, in their post-workout nutrition, that's one time of the day where they can have higher sugar content because of the insulin response. So, you know, man, it's not uncommon for me to have athletes that might take 100 or 150 grams of some form of sugar right after working out.
Now, wow.
That's not something I recommend for everyone. But what I would say is, hey, carbohydrates, a lot of people see that as the enemy now, whereas fat was the enemy a handful of years ago. None of those are the enemy. What it is it's the sources that it comes from that you have to really watch. So, for instance, hey, if you're taking in a lot of grams of carbohydrates, but it's from raw oats or it's from fruits and vegetables, that is definitely different than if you were taking them in from candy and soda. So, without a doubt, what I would say is the book forces people to really examine the sources from which they're getting their nutrients and then start really looking at the numbers, too.
My final question for you is, and I want to talk to you about this, what's your favorite type of a workout? I mean, do you run marathons? You run mountains? What do you do?
My best stuff is I like to run about 100 meters or less. So, you know, you're not going to find me running marathons or, you know, hey, I have climbed mountains, which I think that's an endeavor.
Yeah, didn't you go to Brazil and climb or run some mountains?
Yeah, like, I've been to actually a lot of different continents and climbed mountains and done real feats of endurance in those. But if I had to say what are my favorite styles of workout, it would probably be, you know, some form of weight training that's really, really getting the heart rate up. And actually, there's a number of them featured in the book. And because I believe that's what we're designed for. Humans were designed for action, to do something quick and explosively and recover and then do it again and repeat. Where, you know, definitely the far, far distance stuff is, it doesn't match with my DNA, that's for sure.
Well, I'm motivated talking to Martin Rooney, the author of Warrior Cardio. As he said, you can go anywhere online and pick that up. Go to Amazon.com. Martin, congratulations, and let us know if you're in Dallas sometime. I'll go work out with you, okay?
Hey, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot. And I end up in Dallas every once in a while, so if that happens, you better be ready.
Okay. I do play ball with the guys at the Y at noon, so I'll try to gear up for that, all right? Thanks. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment with our Under the Helmet segment with Jason Peter.
Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing, and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompletePproductionServices.com.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter. Under the Helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hard to believe our show is quickly coming to a close, but we can't say it's over until we visit with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We have got a lot of topics that we want to hit on that are going on in the NFL and making big, big headlines this week, or I thought it did, was the Panthers' Cam Newton. And he was stated saying that he was a bad teammate in 2011. And I don't know, when I read that, I thought, well, perhaps, you know, he's maturing, he's growing up, and hopefully he'll control his emotions during the good and the bad when he is playing. What did you take away from that, Jason Peter?
I'll tell you, Alyssa, it kind of rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. To me, it seemed like he was almost looking for more praise than what he had already gotten. And this is a guy who had one of the all-time best rookie years for a quarterback. God knows how many records he broke. And it just seemed a little bit like, hey, I want everybody to not feel sorry for me, but I want them to sit there and say, wow, this guy did this and he still feels that way. Well, most guys that have gotten to that level, you know, after every game, they're running over 60 plays in their head, 50 times each. It's just part of, I think, being that level of an athlete. And I mean, some of his teammates have come out and said, look, this guy's not a bad teammate. And I think when everybody first heard that, bad teammate, geez, what was he doing? Was he flipping guys off? Was he, going into the locker room and telling veterans that they could go, shove it where the sun doesn't shine? So I think it was a little bit misleading. I just think that all professional athletes always feel like there's more there for them. So I don't, after kind of reading the comments, I was, I guess, a little disappointed in it. But I also know that sometimes the media take things and they can twist it as well.
Well, Jason, you played in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers, and I'm sure you appreciate just how much he did help revitalize the Panthers in 2011. But do you think this was perhaps a PR move to kind of, I don't know, rehabilitate his image? Because I still have a bad taste in my mouth of kind of the stuff that went on from junior college and at Auburn.
Absolutely. I still think that when people think Cam Newton, they think the guy that kind of won the Heisman Trophy and still got away with bankrolling some money from Mississippi State. I still think that there is a dark shadow over his head, and I think, in time, winning games and performing, I think it conquers all. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, this guy's going to play a long time in the NFL. There's still a lot he has to learn, I think, in order to become the quarterback that the Carolina Panthers are hoping that he'll be, as well as the quarterback that he hopes he'll be one day. But, this certainly keeps a small market team on the front page, and that's something that I think all small market teams are looking for.
Well, perhaps we give Cam Newton the benefit of the doubt, and that maybe he was just being reflective on his rookie season, what he can improve upon. And Jason, during your time in the NFL, I mean, when you look back on that first year in the league, what were some of the things that, you were like, I've got to do this specifically differently?
Oh, I knew right away I had to grow up. I mean, just to kind of tie it back to what Cam Newton was saying. For me, numerous mistakes, both on and off the field, and I just wasn't ready, I guess, for the responsibility of having, a big bank account and the freedom that comes along with being on your own, getting in and learning the playbook from front to back. And this was a shortened off season as well for the Panthers and for everybody, but for a new coach, new quarterback, it was a real short off season. So I'm sure that Carolina and Cam Newton, everybody else, is really looking forward and taking advantage of a full off season.
Well, there were pre-draft concerns about Cam Newton, about his leadership, his dedication, and perhaps he will continue to grow up and mature. Now, I do want to shift avenues. I want to get your thoughts on this, Jason, since we are focusing on the NFL this weekend. Tom Brady, how about his father, talking about the concussion concerns, that if he had to do it all over again, perhaps he might be hesitant to let his son play football. What do you think about that?
I think it's, I feel the same way that Tom Brady does when he commented on what his father said, and I think it's coming from a parental stance. You always want the best for your kids, and you don't ever want to put them in harm's way. And I think when you're asking a father about their son, I think that's probably going to be an answer that you get from a lot of parents. So I understand, I think, where he was going and what the point he was trying to get across. I don't think it was him saying this game of football that his son has benefited from financially and socially and every which other way that you could possibly benefit. I don't think he was saying that it's a bad game. I just think it's with the things that we know nowadays, you know, in a lot of ways you are sending your kids into a game of Russian roulette almost. You don't know if they're going to be one of the ones that can't remember who their kids' names are by the time they're 45 or 50. You don't know if they're going to be one of those select guys that end up with a case of Alzheimer's or early dementia. I mean, you just don't know. I think, especially with all the stuff that they're finding out, and you know, we don't know, I guess, for sure with Junior Seau, but there have been other past players that have had you know, issues so bad that they've decided to take their lives. And I mean, for me, being a parent, knowing if that was a potential outcome, it would be hard for me to send my sons off to do that. Thank God I only have two daughters at this point. I don't have to worry about them playing football. At least, you know, I'm not going to really direct them towards the Bikini Bowl. That's something I'm hoping that they decide not to do. But you just never know.
Well, as a parent, I'm playing it safe. I mean, my boys play flag football, but we're all about teeing it up and playing golf. Hey, Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. It's always so good to hear his voice. And Jason, let's talk some college football here quickly, because this is an abbreviated segment. The SEC wants the best four teams in football in a playoff, and it appears that they are, you know, ready to push forward with this in college football. I mean, what do you think about this?
I think they're right. I mean, I think obviously right now the SEC has been the premier and dominant football conference. And right now, I mean, you look at what happened last year with Alabama winning the national championship and not playing in their conference championship game. I think if they were to put a playoff in effect where you had to win your conference, ultimately you're going to be short guys from your football conference. And for the SEC, like I said, I mean, their top four teams potentially could be the best four teams in college football. Now, I think for right now, the SEC is like I said, they want that format implemented. But I also know that things are cyclical, and the SEC may be on top now, but in 10, 15 years, they could easily be a team that's struggling. You just never know, or a conference that's struggling. You never know if violations are going to come down on three or four of the top teams in the conference. And then before you know it, the Pac-12 or the Big Ten is the premier conference. So for right now, though, and let's face it, I mean, we live in a world where it's all about right now. What can I have right now? And for the SEC, that's the best format. And to be honest, I agree. I don't want to see a 9-4 Big East team or even a 10-3 Big Ten team playing for a national championship if they're not one of the best four teams in the country.
Well, the SEC, Michael Slive, the commissioner, he said these conversations are going to continue before the league makes any decision on that. And I certainly anticipate some good things coming out of there. So we'll look forward to that. And Jason, I know you're having a great time. What are you doing? You're playing golf out in California. Boy, you've got it easy.
Yeah, it's hot out here. I'm out in the desert, in the Palm Desert, but it's dry heat. That's what everybody told me when I got down here. It's going to be 115 degrees, but it's dry heat. It's still hot, but I will say this, that even throughout, did 18 holes today, 18 holes yesterday, not one drop of sweat, not one bead of sweat, and absolutely zero humidity. And it does make a difference, but I will say 115 degrees is 115 degrees.
Well, Jason, you and Sarah, come on down to Texas. We'll get you sweating real quick, okay?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's hot down there, too.
It is. Jason, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to step aside, much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Join us online at eradiosports.com.